QSC, QSC, QSC. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q, net control for the Tech Tuesday net at 1900 hours local time on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. 147.330 megahertz, plus offset of 600 kilohertz and a PL of 131.8. This net is conducted every Tuesday at 1900 hours, conditions permitting. This repeater is solely owned, operated, and maintained by the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. We wish to thank the BBARC for the use of the repeater for this net. For more information on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club, please go to www.bbarc.org. That's bbarc.org for more information and applications for membership. The purpose of this net is to provide and promote technical knowledge, education, and information of amateur radio, a gateway to spark interest in various aspects of amateur radio communications. Before I begin, is there any emergency or priority traffic? Please call KF6Q. Hearing none, are there any bulletins or announcements for the net? Please call KF6Q. All right, a couple of announcements from the net. Is basically with the 4th of July coming up, please be safe, please be sane. If you're up in the Big Bear area or any mountainous community, please remember that you may not light your own fireworks, period. There are fireworks displays in Big Bear Lake, and a lot of communities down the hill also, even though there are neighboring communities that sell fireworks, check your restrictions. Once again, there are no personal fireworks allowed up in the mountain communities. And then there's the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater ID, and I'll ID with it as KF6Q Net Control for the Tech Tuesday net. Another announcement, spotted in the last few days in the Sugarloaf area, just a couple hundred yards into the woods, by one of our friends, a hiker, basically a rattlesnake, about a good 3-footer. So they're out there, be careful. If you're out hiking, be very, very careful. Try to stick to the trails. Keep your eyes open, and even as hot as it is, they're out there doing what they do, sending themselves and slithering along, so be careful. And last announcement for the net, I would like to leave just a few seconds of pause in memory of the 19 hotshot firefighters who lost their lives just recently in the Yarnell fire over there in Arizona. Sorry to hear what had happened to them, and in memory, we will leave about a good few seconds of pause here. All right, well, let's get started with our topic for the evening. That will be pulled from the July issue of QST Magazine. What we're going to look at is another way to get on HF if you've got some HOA restrictions on antennas and stuff. So kind of cool using your mobile rig that's set up for HF and kind of running the coax and stuff inside your house. People don't seem to complain about that screwdriver antenna on the back of a vehicle. And hey, it's mobile, so you can move it. So anyway, a good article by Joel Hallis, call sign W1ZR. All right, let's move on to our brief roster here, starting with my partner out there in crime, or lack of crime, WB6CLZ, Mike.
Yeah, lack of crime. That's a good one we like. Hey, good evening, Tom, and that WB6CLZ. We're in Eastern Big Bear tonight.
Well, Mike, glad to have you up here, as always, and I imagine it's a lot cooler up here, so. Anyway, good to have you out there. How about WB6CIN? Is she out there? Cindy?
Good evening, Tom. This is WB6CIN.
All right, Cindy. Well, glad to have you out there. And just a little gardening tip here. I'm not sure if that's what got rid of them in one area. Bubblegum. And we've had a few of them disappear where that's at. And it might have worked. So I don't know. I guess if they don't come back, it worked, right? Anyway, so we'll see. Anyway, moving on down the list is KA6CIA George, Lucerne Valley.
And then Tom and Annette, KA6CIA, Big Bear Lake tonight.
George, I do not blame you for driving up here. And if you're up here, congratulations and good to have you up here. Hopefully you're enjoying your stay. All right, let's see if I have them out there, KE6RJ and or KE6QI, Nancy. All right, don't hear them out there. How about, KJ6HCS, Mike.
Evening, Tom, KJ6HCS.
Hey there, Mike. Don't know if your dad ever listens in, but he is K6EKX. Courtesy check-in. How about WA6IATC, Rod? All right, we don't hear Rod out there this evening. How about KJ6FIL, Mike in Redlands?
Howdy doody, y'all. KJ6FIL.
Okay, Mike, good to hear you out there. By the way, we were talking about the 440 repeater, and Randy was having issues not getting into it or picking it up. He changed his antenna. Now he is. So, anyway, not sure if you're having any luck, but we always chat after that. All right, good deal. Let's see there. We got the workaholic out there. Let's see if he's out there. KJ6KDL Jim and KJ6KDK Rosemary.
This is KJ6KDK. And KDL. Woohoo, I'm here.
Well, it sounds like you're mobile. You're probably trying to get out of town, get away from work. I don't know. Anyway, good to hear you out there, Bo. Thanks for checking in. All right, let's see here if he's listening in. Let's see. It's WB6PBZ. He's probably out. He's been out there busy sighting his house. How about W6GZI? Frank, are you listening in?
Good evening, Tom and Annette,
W6GZI. And good evening there, Frank. Glad to have you back up here in the hill. Hopefully it's cooler up here than Yucca Valley. So, anyway, good to have you out there. How about KI6IQA Kelly? All right, don't hear Kelly out there this evening. How about K9AOG Stephen?
Good evening, this is K9AOG Stephen, back in the flatlands.
All right, Stephen, glad you're out there. And by the way, resolved that issue with testing, getting call signs and all that. Little glitch on our end, little glitch on their end. So anyway, I guess the delay was because of that. Anyway, all right, next I have K6GBL, Ron from Green Valley.
Good evening, Tom and Annette. This is Ron, Green Valley Lake.
Well, hey there, Ron. Glad to have you out there. And one of these days we get together, you know, we'll talk some more shop. Your shop. I like your shop. All right. Next I have 86BL, Harold from Riverside.
Good evening, 86BL from chilly 85 degree Riverside.
Wow, 85. 85 is chilly compared to 105. Wow, all right. Well, hang in there with that cold spell until it blows through. Next I have KJ6RAY, Ray. And if you're out there, good to see you in our meeting this last weekend.
Good evening, Tom. KJ6RAY. Nice to meet all of you guys. And we'll be here listening mobile.
Okay, Ray, you take care, and like I say, once again, good to get an eyeball on you there, and now you know what we all look like. Terrible, isn't it? All right, not a problem. Take care. Next, let's see here, KJ6PYV Dave.
Good evening, Tom and Annette, KJ6PYV, checking in.
And good evening there, Dave. Glad to have you out there and checking in. Let's see. How about W6JLM Judith and W6KMM Kent? Oh, don't hear him out there this evening. That's all right. How about K2BBL Alan from Moonridge? I'll hear Alan out there. How about K6YNW Chris?
Hello, Tom and Annette. K6YNW.
And hello there, Chris. Hopefully staying cool down there in the lower desert. Boy, I gotta tell you, it's tough. Anyway, next would be W6POO Chip. I know that he has moved. He's up in Idlewild. Cannot get into our repeater. As soon as he has internet, he will try to check in on Echolink. So anyway, courtesy check-in for W6POO. Next on my list, I have KD6LAN Bill. Once again, KD6LAN Bill. And one more time, just in case he's out fishing and he can't hear me. KD6LAN Bill.
Are you the head department of redundancy department? KD6LAN checking in.
Yeah, I know you bribe your witnesses out there. That's all I can say. All right. Hope you caught some fish last night. Good deal. Good to have you out there, Bill. Thanks for checking in. Let's see. Next, I have Ron, WA6HF, out here in Eastern Big Bear.
Hey, Tom, how's it going? WA6HF. Never heard it called Eastern Big Bear before.
Anything east of Big Bear is Eastern Big Bear. And anyway, yeah, I know it's a popular term. Anyway, good to have you out there, Ron. Appreciate that. So, let's see here, how about KJ6QYN? Let's see if Shelly's out there. Hey, don't hear Shelly out there this evening yet. How about NQ7RD? Rick, who could be in Cerritos or Corona, we're not sure.
I'm over here in southwestern Big Bear. In Cerritos. No more Corona there, bud. So that's all over. Last move was Sunday, and locked the doors for the last time, so we should be out in this area permanently. In monitoring, NQ7RD.
All right there, Rick. Well, glad to have you out there. I thought you said Western Big Bear, but I don't know how west. Is that Cerritos west?
Southwestern, yes, in Cerritos.
All right, Rick. Well, glad to have you out there. By the way, you're hitting the repeater rock solid, just so you know. Thanks for being out there. Next, I have AE6CK, Victor.
Good morning. I'm good evening, Tom and the group. Victor Santa Testing.
All right, Victor, you're standing too close to the cutting fluid on that mill. All right. Anyway, Victor, glad to have you out there. Haven't got that email off yet, but I'll try to get that to you with Dave's information. Thanks again, Victor, for all the help and field day. Next, I have KA6ROD. Rod, let's see if Rod's in town. All right, don't see Rod out there. How about KB6LTY Christy? And I'll have Christy out there this evening. How about W6JET, Rob?
Good evening to the net. W6JET from Temple City.
All right, Rob, glad to have you out there. Hopefully you're staying cool down there. I think it's cooling off. I think you guys are supposed to get some marine layer coming in. Good deal. All right, let's try WA6MQF Bob. Don't know if he's up here or off the mountain. All right, don't hear Bob out there. And that's pretty much what I have here on the list. I have missed somebody here. Anybody out there would like to check in this evening as a guest, please come back to KF6Q Tech Tuesday in the room.
November 7, Whiskey November Oscar, Mike.
Okay, I got November 7, Whiskey Oscar. Didn't catch after that. I'm sorry, go ahead.
And November 7, Whiskey November Oscar, Mike. On the motorcycle headed home from Edwards.
All right, motorcycle. Wow. Glad to have you out there. Please drive safe on your way home from wherever out there in the desert. All right, take care. Anybody else out there want to check in as a guest?
Whiskey 6, Mike Charlie, November.
Whiskey 6, Mike Charlie, November, got you in here, and where are you at?
This is Marty, I'm in Anaheim.
All right, okay, had you in here, got you on one of the other check-ins. Good to have you out there. Thanks for joining us again. Anybody else out there would like to check in as a guest?
Kilo, Kilo 6, Bravo, Papa, Papa, in Riverside.
Kilo, Kilo 6, Bravo, Papa, Papa. Heard you out there. I think we've had some QSOs or two. Good to have you out there this evening, and appreciate you checking in. Anybody else? All right, I think we have all the check-ins for this evening. If you're still out there listening, not a problem. Always welcome to jump in for any questions or comments. It's an open net. All right. Well, Mike, WB6CLZ, real quick and brief. I don't know, is there any space weather to talk about? I think we had some pretty nasty stuff hit us here just recently. Not sure if that really is all over with. And I'm not sure about the propagation, but boy, I'll tell you what, it's been pretty bad. So I'll just hand it over to you real brief on that.
Not the best of propagation on the high bands. There's always something on 17 meters and 20 meters and, you know, that kind of stuff. But the higher bands aren't really doing that well. We had a couple of twin coronal holes open up near the end of last week and give us quite a display of some aurora in the northern latitudes, some down as far south as central and even southern Oregon. So, yeah, I had some of that stuff going on, but nothing that's going to help us with HF propagation. So, back to you, Tom.
Well, good deal. Glad to hear at least that there's something happening, even though it's bad. All right. Well, fantastic. And Mike, thank you for picking out our article this evening from Joel Hallis. And this is using your mobile station as your base station. Now, if you are in an area where it's you have homeowner restrictions and, you know, you want, okay, anybody can put up a little tiny J-pole or ground plane usually, and, you know, that won't be seen. But if you're talking about an HF antenna, we're talking about big wires or big verticals or stuff like that, and man, that's really hard to do. Mike, this article is like, what, using a mobile? A mobile, let's see. So I guess you already have to have that set up in your mobile. Back to you, Mike.
Actually, this article, the basic setup, really only requires you to have a mobile antenna. You don't have to have the whole mobile setup. But you would like to have either an automatic antenna tuner connected to that antenna, or if in the instance of a screwdriver type antenna, some sort of a controller for that. And we'll get into how they do that. Basically, what they're talking about is using your vehicle in the driveway or out on the street or however you can safely get the antenna, the coax or whatever lead-in, probably would be coax with a mobile, out to the vehicle without causing a trip hazard or any kind of a problem that could occur with the wire out there. They give kind of a couple of different instances to kind of bury the coax and maybe put it, you know, into a box where you can just plug a little jumper into that, into your vehicle, and then connect to the antenna, the tuner, and such. Let you take a little bit more, Tom. Go back to you, K6Q on Tech Tuesday.
Well, good deal there, Mike. You know, and a lot of hams in that condition or circumstance basically just jump in their mobile, and they may drive off to some remote area where there is no issue, park the vehicle and chat up the HF bands for a bit. This is perfectly fine. A couple little minor drawbacks and things that should be watched out for that would be, of course, running your battery down to make sure that when you turn the key and get ready to leave, car starts. That's all relative to the kind of power you're running if you're using usually about 100 watts or less, you probably won't have an issue, but I know circumstances way back in the 70s of people who used to do the same thing with the 11 meter band and some very illegal equipment, thought they were pretty hot, and batteries that you just cannot run that KW and not have it take a toll. But anyway, the other thing is too, you definitely don't want to be parked in a parking structure or garage if you're running the vehicle to keep the battery running down for that circumstance. Good chance of asphyxiation via carbon monoxide. So, got to be very careful how you do that and what you do. So, anyway, so this is, if you're going to be doing that, watch out for those. But anyway, let's move ahead on just using the vehicle part and actually not even using any power from that vehicle and powering it from your apartment or condo or wherever you have this issue. Go ahead, Mike. Let's look at, basically what we have here, how they feed the power to that, something like about, it's called a bias T.
Before I go there, they also say that you may be able to squeeze a little bit of a taller antenna than you normally would want to take out mobile sitting in your driveway, and most people wouldn't notice it. Yeah, that's called a bias T, and this is I've heard of a similar type thing for controlling antenna tuners and antenna switches, so I'm sure it's the same, but I've never heard it called that. So it's a bias T, and it's a device that allows DC current power to share a coax cable without interfering with the RF. Really, I don't know how much power it is, but it's definitely enough to tune your automatic antenna tuner or to switch and tune a motorized antenna, you know, like the screwdriver. Very interesting. They're commercially available from Array Solutions, which is a company that makes pretty cool antenna stuff. And we all know MFJ. I guess there's some product reviews through older QSDs that you can take a look at if you're interested in it. And they even have an article that goes back to January of this year to build a legal limit bias T that covers 1.8 to 230 megahertz. That would just about cover everything except the 430 band that you would want to use on mobile. Back to you, Tom.
And KF6Q, Tech Tuesday in the group, every Tuesday that we can. Well, you know, another thing too, this bias T, and yeah, I have never heard it really called that. Basically, this has been used way back for basic TV, little, booster amps and stuff like that, and feeding the power to them, of course, even all the way up, whether it be TV coax or anything like that. Satellite TV systems actually use this DC signal to control tuning. Oh, there's all kinds. We've been sending up other signals up that coax for a long time. Works perfectly fine. So anyway, bias T, very good term. Not sure if I've ever heard that, but anyway, you can look that up through your catalogs and find that. And one of the things, if you've had a mobile unit in your vehicle, we all know that we have the infamous screwdriver antenna, basically made from electric screwdrivers originally, and with that, of course, they use power to kind of tune everything up. So there's a lot of different options of getting your antenna tuned up. I would say if I was going to do that, I would focus on maybe, like you said, maybe the 20 meter band, 17 or something like that. Not sure if I would really want to touch 75 like that. However, it's doable, as is 40. So with all that said, pretty neat option. Kind of like a way to bend the rules, not get people mad too much, and still be a ham and not have to leave your house. With the price of gas, that's a major plus. Anyway, well, good deal. But Mike, I'll hand it back over to you, and like I said, there's a couple things to watch if you're hooking this up. You got to make sure if you start to drive away. Go ahead, Mike.
For those people
people that drive away with the gas gas pump connected to their car. This is for you. I've never done that. Amazing. Anyway, there are some caveats. While mobile operation does not require an RF safety evaluation like you do for your home station, you always have to make sure that it's not a hazard to your neighbor. You've got a neighbor that always comes up and touches your antenna and stuff. Not a good idea if you're running 500 watts on 75 and he touches that. He'd get a pretty, he or she would get a pretty nasty RF burn. So don't want to do that. And again, want to make sure that you have some sort of a system so you don't drive off with that all hooked up. They suggest antenna connected to house on your steering wheel with a big note. Good idea. And maybe using some PL-259 push-on adapter so they will pull out, kind of like the old gas pump nozzle, to give you a little margin of safety and an additional protection there. Hey, back to you, Tom. Pretty good article.
Well, good deal, and it's a good option. Like I said, here approaching people that are kind of stuck in a situation where they cannot run HF or HF antennas, and but they do have a car, and they can put something on the bumper, and like I said, that's since it's mobile, they tend to be able to get away with that, and the HOAs really all just don't want it on the building. Same thing about the cars. Well, good deal. Anybody out there with any questions, comments, or suggestions? A very cool article this evening. Kind of a little brief, but, you know, then again, good stuff. So please come back to Tech Tuesday and the group.
Comment.
Hey, Tom, I got a quick question. WA6HF.
Okay, in the order, I have Ron, you're right after Harold. We'll send it over to Harold first, and then we'll get over to you, Ron. Yes, Harold, go ahead.
One thing, Don Johnson, I forget his call sign, he was the person who invented the screwdriver antenna. Lives up in Northern California, not too far from Sacramento in that area. And he has a book out, it's on mobile operation, but one of the suggestions he has for people that live in restricted housing is use two screwdriver antennas horizontal, butted up to each other as a dipole, adjustable dipole, and that way you can run on his, you can run from 6 down to 80, 86 PL.
All right, that sounds pretty good, and I'm sure we could probably get information from that online. Horizontally, yeah, kind of neat, hard to picture in my mind here, but yeah, the guy invented this stuff, he's probably got some great ideas, so I appreciate that, Harold. Back over to Ron, WA6HF, go ahead.
Hey, Tom, this has nothing to do with tonight's stuff, but I've just had a lot of people ask me down the hill, a bunch of my buddies and a bunch of people up here, too. You know, when the ITER comes on, it's way deep over the voice. It's really loud, and I'd say probably at least twice as loud as the voice. So I wasn't sure if you guys set the DEEV on that as the same as the voice, or it came stock that way, or I'm just curious.
Good question, and the basic answer is we have not made it back up there to do that. We, meaning me, with field day and all. It's been a very busy last couple of weeks. Do want to get up there maybe after the 4th. We're going to make a trip up there and get those settings. They do have to be set in person. Yeah, and we'll do that on both repeaters, make sure we get that dialed in. I think they weren't really adjusted. You know, they were rough adjusted when they first went in, and that was the primary thing to get them up and running. That deviation is not permanent, and just like I said, unfortunately, we work, okay? So we only have like Saturday and Sunday, and with the field day and all, it's been kind of busy. And this last weekend for me has been test sessions on Sunday and getting ready for our, had a little tiny little error there. I actually got able to do stuff, honeydews as we call it. So anyway, sorry about that. Apologies, please be accepted. We'll get that fixed. Back to you, Ron, real quick.
Yeah, Tom, no big deal. Just had a bunch of people ask me about it, you know, because they know I'm kind of do repeater stuff or whatever. So, cool. Sounds good. So when you get a chance, man, that'd be cool. All right, talk to you later. WAA6HF.
Comment. Hey, Ron. Yeah, we've probably mentioned that about a half a dozen times. It's just we have not gotten to it. So sorry about that. Just whoever those people may be, just tell them to hang in there. Yes, go ahead, Harold.
Right, I just want to let you know that Don Johnson doesn't have a website. He took it down a long time ago. I don't think he's put it back up because he kept making comments on it about the people who stole his design and didn't even bother making a mention that he was the one that came up with the design and built the first ones and sold them. Gave them away, I guess, the first ones, and to his buddies up here. And basically, it was just outright theft, and they kept vandalizing his website and putting notices on that he'd passed away and they'd buried him already and stuff like that. So he just took the website down. And his original, what he does, people that buy his antennas send him back pictures and descriptions of how they use it under various circumstances. Some of it's really ingenious, but started out with one guy he was using in the window of his apartment because they wouldn't let him have anything else. So he just put that up in the window and was able to work all over just like he would in his car. Then another fellow showed a picture of it with two of the antennas horizontal on a porch railing on a second floor or a third floor porch and had them co-phased and was working away. So it'll work, but I didn't want you to go looking and wasting your time looking for a website, AG6PL.
Okay, Harold. Well, you know what? I'll bet you, though, somebody has probably got info out there. You know, you might do a search on that topic, so there's probably good stuff out there. But, yeah, it's unfortunate. Generally, the guy that comes up with the stuff is the guy who is not even credited. You know that Marconi was miscredited for inventing radio, and as I believe here a few years back, very kept quiet, but they had actually flipped that back to Tesla. So, anyway, that's interesting. Not sure exactly how that worked, but anyway, yeah, things happen.
Yeah, he wasn't even wanting royalties or anything. He just wanted to mention that, you know, that they had taken his design and modified it or used it, unmodified or whatever, and you can contact him. You can find his website or his call sign on QRZ or on the FCC database. Contact him and you can purchase the plans to build your own detailed plans. His design for, I think, I paid $5 for it, but and it's not anything really complicated. The most expensive part is the copper wire. I think it's 14 gauge to make the coil, which is 20 or 24 inches long, 2 inches diameter. So that'd be quite a bit of wire. You have to go down and rate your buddy's garage or something, 86 feet.
Yeah, roger that, KF6Q, Tech Tuesday, and the group. Yeah, and actually, last time I checked, copper has come down a little bit, not a lot, probably about 10% drop, but it's been there holding fast at that. But yeah, you know, that's probably 2-inch diameter, 14, or whatever you said, number 14 wire, and a couple feet long. Not sure exactly how that calcs out to how many feet, but 500 feet now is up there on a 500-foot spool. Is there about 60 to $65 off the mountain? Not sure about up here in Big Bear. Anyway, I just remembered something I forgot to give an announcement for. But anyway, we'll catch that in a second. Well, good deal there, Harold. Appreciate that. Anybody else out there with any comments or questions before we get ready to close the net? But we'll have a couple little things right after that. Comment? Yes, sir. Go ahead.
K9AOG, yeah. Scorpion and HiQ also have dipole diagrams on their websites. I know Charlie has one for Nevis that he has with that he used for the military.
Oh, very cool. Good information there. A lot of stuff out there. I actually have a electric screwdriver or two that I have. I'm not even sure where I got them from. Good possibility where they did come from. But anyway, I want to actually make one of those originals, and got the primary part, probably got all the rest of the stuff. Pretty cool, just as a build-it project. Anyway, real quick, any other comments or questions or announcements or suggestions or yada yada, all that other stuff?
KJ6RAY.
Yes, sir. Ray, go ahead.
Yeah, you can also put a dipole in if you have an attic. You can hide it on an attic, or you can install it where the fascia board of your plate. And or you can get hold of a isotron antenna, which does not look like an antenna, and put it on your porch.
Yeah, that's a good deal too. I going back about 5 or 6 years, there was a guy out there in I'm going to say Torrance, maybe Redondo Beach area. Gets on the repeater here once in a while, and he actually ran a wire on the ridge, the asphalt shingle ridge of I guess the apartment or whatever he was in. I guess he snuck up there and put that in there, and he has had a little bit of a issue, and all it really needed was a bad one just to knock off some of that signal coming back. Probably wasn't the best in the world, but he had it up there and it worked, so very, very good try. So, yeah, a lot of things to be done, and I think this one, this particular article is just about using a mobile ring as one of those things that we probably haven't thought about, but good point there, Ray. Thanks for bringing that up. Appreciate that. Anybody else out there, any comments, questions, or suggestions, please come back.
W6GZI.
Yes, Frank, how you doing? My neighbor to the east, go ahead.
Okay, I'm walking. Well, I've been listening as well as I can. Well, anyway, I have a neighbor, or a friend, not a neighbor, he's a friend, in the Sam's Radio Hands, and he got put in a trailer park, and he was using his rain gutter, and that seemed to work okay, over.
Wow, that's fantastic. He was loading up the rain gutter. That's pretty cool. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right.
Wow, okay, that's fantastic. Boy, I don't know. I guess if you took the downspout and put a little plastic insert in there, you're really crafty. Well, that's really neat. That's cool. I like to see people do stuff like that. And you know what? There's always seems to be that workaround, and love to hear that. Love to share that information. Thank you very much, Frank. Appreciate that. Anybody else out there with any comments, questions, or suggestions? Come back. Yes, Harold, go ahead.
Yeah, if you want to use your rain gutters or the flashing around the edge of the house on the roof, you have to, at each junction, you have to put a jumper on it so you have continuous flow. And if I remember correctly, it's in the ARRL antenna book, I believe that you shot feed the downspout, and nobody knows what you're doing, and run around wondering why the garage door flops open and why the TV goes squirrely, but it'd be pretty hard to catch you unless they know how to too, a little hard to hit. 86 beyond.
Yeah, very interesting. I don't know if he's still there, but WA6CIA, George, who used to work for the power company up here, I guess they had a section of power line that had not been hooked to the grid yet. And for grins, he tried to load that thing up with a mobile, and it's really interesting. You know, there is probably a limit on how long that wire can be. I don't know. But anyway, very interesting. There's a lot of stuff that can be done out there, and sometimes you just got to think outside the box. Well, no, most of the time you have to think outside the box, you know, and do some searches online if you're scratching your head on stuff. A lot of times you'll pop up with stuff, or something will pop up to give you an idea that might lead to a solution, you know, with what you got going on there. Always good stuff like that. Anyway, all right. Any more comments, questions, or suggestions? All right. Well, Mike, WB6CLZ, if you're still out there, anything to say in closing? It's a very good article, very cool. Always good stuff there, and appreciate you picking that one out for us this evening. Go ahead, Mike.
Very good article, and it opens up some other possibilities and just goes to show you there's always more than one way to skin the proverbial cat. Great Tech Tuesday, and see everybody next week. WB6CLZ.
Okay, Mike, and one thing that you and I talked about, we'll try to firm this up, we'll announce it on the nets a couple weeks ahead of time. In lieu of some issues we ran across in Field Day of antenna launchers and different types and different modes and different ones, and some work better than others, and certain features work better than other features than others, we will be doing a workshop at Mike's garage, unless he's changed his mind, based on his work schedule, my work schedule, probably in the next 30 days. What our intent is to assemble all the parts in one big pile, enough to build at least 5 units. If you want to bring cash to reimburse us for the parts, only for the parts, for that, you can walk away with a working launcher. And if you want to, if you're a member of the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club, any of those that are still left that don't walk away that way will become part of the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club equipment, which can be checked out by members. And that's kind of a new thing. We're trying to get that more in motion. So anyway, good deal. I've been researching parts, researching information, researching sources, and all that. Been going on with this for about a good 30 days. A lot of good different types out there. Looks like the basic unit's going to probably run about $50. That will include a reel, a fishing reel. Now, if you have your own reel, you could probably knock about 10 off of that. And the line, another couple bucks off for the line. So somewhere around $30. That will be a valve-operated, pretty good unit with all the parts, gizmos, and stuff. So looks like we're going to try to shave that down a little bit less, but we'll see how we can do with that. So anyway, that'll be coming up. Last call for any comments or questions or suggestions from KF6Q Tech Tuesday. Have a group.
I have one, Tom.
Roger, go ahead.
Yeah, I dug out my Glover's pocket reference, and 14-gauge wire is 15 turns per inch, and I'm assuming that's turn tight, so that would be, spacing it would be half, and the diameter on a 2-inch piece of PVC, which is what they use for the arm, is 6.2 inches, so you can calculate out how much wire in case you decide you want to build your own screwdriver antenna, and if your neighbor has a really good up and down AM FM antenna, you might snitch that little motor off of that. That would work really well. 86 view.
And KF6Q Tech Tuesday in the group. Well, I could go through this again. in, but I think, yeah, 6 inches per turn, and I think you said 14 turns per inch. If it's still 14 turns per inch, and you have times 24 inches, works out to be about 175 feet of wire, not a lot. So you're probably looking at about, you know, like you said, about 20, well, probably $30 worth of wire for that coil, if all that math, that's quick math I did here. So anyway, either way, actually in the terms of antennas, that's cheap money. So good deal. Thanks for looking that up, Harold. Anybody else? Questions, comments, or suggestions before we close Tech Tuesday?
Yep.
Okay, I think I only had one person in there. Didn't catch the name. Go ahead.
Oh, hey, Tom. Just wanted to say goodbye. Have a good evening. I wanted to tell you, 440 is working great, man. It's just, it's cranking. Working really good. WAA6HF.
Okay, Rod. Well, good deal. Yeah, I know we have adjustments to do, and it's not that we're ignoring it, but it's just been a jam-packed last couple of weeks. And do you want to get all that stuff toned down? And, you know, that's all of us that are involved with that are pretty much tied up during the week, sometimes 7 days a week. So do apologize, but we will get up there. So meantime, it does work. That's the cool part. Just a little loud to turn the volume down. I know. All right. Anyway, Ron, take care. Glad to hear you out there. Thanks for joining us this evening, and glad to have you checking out the 440 side. Anyway, KF6Q. And any other people out there with any comments or suggestions?
W6GZI again.
Yes, Frank. Go ahead. W6GZI.
Okay, I made two or three screwdriver antennas, and one of the tips is when you get the wire, make sure it's not coated with anything, because if you put the regular insulated, varnish wire, you put that on the coil, by the time you get it sanded off, you'll wish you started with wire without anything on it, over.
Okay, yeah, I had a couple of weird beeps in there, and I got to actually talk to somebody about that. I'm not sure what's going on with the guy who had the new repeater. Anyway, I got to talk to him anyway, send him an email. Well, good deal. Yeah, you want to make sure that the contactor will contact. Insulated wire has that issue. It does not allow that. Very good point. Good thing to mention. Appreciate that, Frank. Glad to hear that. Anyway, anybody else out there, any comments, questions, or suggestions before we close Tech Tuesday?
I have one piece of information for you, and then I'll be out of here.
Oh, not a problem, Harold. Go ahead. That's why we're here.
Well, probably about a year ago, I mentioned the Glover's pocket reference, and you asked me if it had conversion tables in it. And I looked, and I just now remembered it, so I looked again. There are 58 pages of conversion tables, and there's probably 25 to 30 factors on every page. So I think anything you want to convert, like, they can tell you what the factors are from and to 86PL.
Oh, that's always good, because I'll guarantee you there's I don't spend as much time on the computer as I used to, but I got to tell you, there's a lot of different measurement things. Fortunately, we're not measuring antennas in qubits. Probably don't see that conversion table out there. Well, it's probably out there somewhere, I'll bet you. Anyway, but yeah, from inches to everything else, and meters and millimeters and stuff, so. Alrighty, well, good deal. Good reference. And those are good pocket references to keep with you. You know, like I said, when you need it, it's there, and you know it's in there, so good deal. One more time, any more comments or questions or suggestions?
Cubit is 18 inches.
contraband, yeah, that was Noah's cubit. It was from his elbow to his whatever, yeah, depending. But if you know, and if, depending how old you are, if you ever heard a very, very old comedy record from Bill Cosby, which I love, and it used to be pretty cool, and he had one on there about Noah and Noah talking to God, God giving him all the dimensions of the ark in cubits, which he said, yes, okay, what's a cubit? Okay, so I think that question's been out there for a while. Anyway, very funny, that's way back from the 60s, by the way. Sorry, letting you know how old I am, but anyway, good deal. Anyway, one more time, any questions, comments, or suggestions? Good deal. Well, I do appreciate everybody out there who has joined us. I appreciate all people out there listening in. Hopefully we've had some good conversation out there, good information for you this week. Always trying to pull something out there, and of course there's always a lot of good stuff before we close the net, so very cool. Once again, everybody be safe and sane over the 4th. If you're up here in the mountain area, keep your eyes open. Don't be afraid to dial 911 if you see something that is really looking like something that should be reported from that dry weather out there. So anyway, we will now close the net. Hopefully we'll see you next Tuesday. Come right back here at the Big Bear Amateur Lake Repeater at 7 o'clock on Tuesday. QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q, net control for the Tech Tuesday net. This evening we'll be closing the net at 1900 hours and 51 minutes. Return the repeater back to normal use. Once again, thanks to all for joining in with us this evening. We'll see you again next week. KF6Q.